so it didn't die on you.
It's actually going to go on.
Okay. We'll see. The shiur this afternoon is on the topic of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, a vertical view. The topic is based, of course, on this week's parsha, as we try to stick to, and as it's specifically being done today on Asara B'Teves, as it is an important segue to what we should be thinking about during the day. I believe it was Rav Soloveitchik who has a piece where he explains what the mahut, what is the essence of a fast day, specifically the non, you know, the fast days, the minor fast days as we call it, and that many people think it's a day of tshuva and masim toivim. That might be true, but the Rav said the focus is really on the Chorban Habayis. As we start mourning, of course, this Asara B'Teves, we start the process of mourning the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, we have to concentrate more on that than the tshuva. The tshuva, of course, comes from the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we have to figure out why that is. One of the areas that we could do tshuva for the Beis HaMikdash, in my humble opinion, is concentrating more on Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, on concentrating the holiness of Eretz Yisrael itself. We all, sitting here, Baruch Hashem, have the zchus of being in Eretz Yisrael. Some of us, especially you guys, in the next, 1 to 6 weeks, except for some very few yechidim, are going to be going back to Chutz Loretz. And you should keep in mind the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, always. And hopefully this is not a shiloh that is going to be discussed by anybody, besides the fact, of course, we'll do the kapara and bring the Beis HaMikdash, and we won't have the issue of being buried. But besides for that, hopefully the burial, this won't be a shiloh, because nobody would ever think in their right mind of not coming to Eretz Yisrael, and then it becomes quite clear that once you're in Eretz Yisrael, you stay in Eretz Yisrael, even after death. So that's not as much of a shiloh. Shiloh, of course, we just...
makes it apparent in America.
Right. So generally, there's a few shilas that come up where you have, which we'll get to later in the shir, which are going to be shilas about what about somebody who, Rahman al-Islam, dies here in Eretz Yisrael, but this was, they were just on a trip here. So there's a few shilas like that. Or the opposite shilas about somebody who was an Eretz Yisrael person and was visiting in America, as we'll see with the Karlina Rebbe, and they passed away. What's the halacha? Should they be brought back? There's, of course, some famous, very tragic but famous stories. One that comes to mind is from the Flato family, when she was murdered here in Eretz Yisrael. And it was thought that to bring her back, there is, of course, a concern, which is a concern la halacha. I believe Rav Moshe Feinstein brings this as a bona fide halacha concern, where the family was very machmir that they wanted to be able to visit the kever, and they won't be able to do that if it's going to be somewhere that's much more there's farther away. I believe there was other concerns, which was concerns of political in a positive way, that people should be mefarsein, that this is what the nations of the world are doing, lahorug lahaved, they want to kill the Jewish people, and that people should understand, and here was an American citizen, and so people should feel, and there was a tremendous amount of positive press that was done, certainly in some ways a Kiddush Hashem, that people should see, number one, how Jews take care of Rahman al-Islam, those that are no longer with us, as of course we saw last week, unfortunately, the Tzareinu, the tragedy in Connecticut.
So,
yeah. Right, so that's the Shaila. That's the Shaila. The Shaila is it better to... So generally, that's what we say. Generally, there's a huge tumult that if, God forbid, somebody passes away here in Eretz Yisrael, so they usually always bury them here. That was a very special dispensation. There's very few cases where even the Rabbanut would allow such a thing to happen. So let's get to the case, because it's mamish from this week's parashah, from parashas Vayechi. As we know, the pasuk tells us that Yaakov makes Yosef swear and say, you must bury me in Eretz Yisrael. I don't care what happens, you must swear that you're going to be buried here. Because he already knows who Paro is, and he already knows these crazy rules that he has. We already learned from last week's parasha. From parashas Vayigash, the agolos that were sent were normally these grand, amazing chariots. Everybody that saw it knew they were the fancy model. You know, these were the chariots, these were the Ferrari chariots, and everybody knew that there was something very special going on here. These are chariots that normally wouldn't leave Egypt. So everybody knew that there was something very special. So too, we know that Paro was so crazy with his Zionism, if you will, of Egypt. So he didn't want people to leave. So he's very nervous. And obviously, it was obvious to Paro, he didn't need to be such a genius to realize the second that Yaakov came, things started to be amazing, things started to go wonderfully in the land. He recognized that and he said, wait, I don't want this guy to leave here, even though he's not alive. So that was a worry. Why was it, Rashi tells us, why was it that Yaakov so much wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael that he forced his son, really, I won't say forced, but made him swear that no matter what's going to happen, make sure I'm buried in Mitzrayim. So Rashi says here in source number one, as follows. Three reasons. One, Sofalios Ofrakinim. So the first is that because of pestilence. Pestilence will eat up my body, which apparently would not happen in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, I don't want that to happen in Mitzrayim. Number two, we could, very interesting, v'she'ein misei chutz la'aretz chayim ela b'tzar gilgul machalos. That there will be a bumpy ride when Tiyas HaMeisim happens in Mirtz Hashem. Very soon, what will happen is that all the bodies that are not in Eretz Yisrael will go through these tunnels that will travel from wherever you're buried in chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to be a very, very bumpy path, says Yaakov Avinu, in the name of Rashi. The Tsar Gilgul Mecholos is going to be a tremendous Tsar. And number three, quite practically, the Shalosh, and the third reason would be, they're going to make me in Mitzrayim until Avod Kachavim. They're going to recognize what Yaakov, when he came, that everything was hunky-dory, everything was amazing, and what's going to happen? He's going to be turned into a Avodah Zarah. He's going to be turned into a huge burial place. What?
Yes, not to bury him in Mitzrayim.
Not to be buried, for these three reasons. Now, the first reason is interesting. Does that have anything to do with Mitzrayim, or is it something with Chutz La'aretz? It could be that all three reasons, right, are specific to Mitzrayim. But it's Pasha, that the pestilence and the bumpy ride, so that seems to be anywhere in Chutz La'aretz, and that's Dafka what Rashi says, Lashon of Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, one could also tie in a base on the Gemara. The Gemara says in Kesuvos that we deal, as we know, Tzadikim are different, and it could be that if a Tzadik doesn't see the importance of Eretz Yisrael, so it could be worse for him, or according to the Gemara, it could be better. Meaning maybe he wouldn't have a bumpy ride. Yaakov thought that he would have this bumpy ride. But again, what is interesting, I think, about this Rashi is you would think that this Rashi would be what halacha l'maisa. Here Yaakov taught us something l'doiros, but l'halacha, the chok Yaakov brings us, but the halacha is not codified following this. Pashut, it seems. You shouldn't be buried in chutz la'aretz. Nobody seems to carry on it. We'll see a lot of different cases, but I just wanted to point that out as we start. Yeah?
The first reason Rashi brings it isn't specifically because of the
Kinim. Yeah, good. Because the Mako Kinim, exactly. I think later on, the Medrash says specifically that the Mako Kinim was going to come onto Mitzrayim. Very good. And of course, what was going to happen? So, but that's also an interesting thing. And the what? So all the Kinim would eat is going to eat up all the bodies. Yeah. So that pasuk has nothing to do with Eretz. It has nothing to do with Chutz La'aretz per se. It has to do with Mitzrayim Dafka. And what?
Mitzrayim then, definitely.
Yeah, and Mitzrayim then, yeah. And number three was a Avodah Zarah, so that's not necessarily true. We understand that. We've seen it. I'm sure you've seen on programs where you have these deities that they make into these their grave sites. I mean, I hate to say this, but we have to be very careful that we don't do that either. That we don't make our tzaddikim into a Avodah Zarah next. Meaning, we don't travel to the great cemeteries of the great tzaddikim and think we're davening to the tzaddikim. This is a tremendous issue, which is codified in Allah. We are not davening to the tzaddik. We're davening to the Rabbanu Shalom. We daven at the kever of a tzaddik in order for him to be made a tzosha, that it should help us in some way, shape, or form. Obviously, there are those that are tremendously against at all going to kever tzaddik. And they say, go to the Kotel. What are you going to kever tzaddik? The famous idea behind those that go for Elozman too, Uman. Uman. The old, I think, Rav Lau coined the phrase Elul. What is the Rosh Hashanah of Elul? What? Ani l'uman v'ishti levad. Right? I'm going to, and I don't care about my family. So many question that. How? A guy that lives in Eretz Yisrael, a guy lives in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, so he doesn't want to spend time with his family. Okay, you know, maybe he should see somebody, but okay. But a guy in Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, to leave to go to Uman, it's very, 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 very difficult to understand. So too, all these trips that people take and go to all these kvarim, especially not in Eretz Yisrael, one has to question. I told you a few weeks ago, on my trip to Jordan a few years ago, Don't tell mommy, she doesn't know I went. So a few years ago, so I told you the cab driver on the way back wanted to take me to the kever of Aaron HaKohen, which they say that they know where he is. Apparently many sources say that that's not the real place. That's not why I didn't want to go. I realized that now that he realized that I was Jewish, because he obviously knew, because he was going to take me to the kever of Aaron, I wanted to go very, very badly. I also cared very much about my family. I didn't want to be buried in Egypt either. In Jordan. So I decided to go straight to the airport. But apparently, this was a cab driver told me, and obviously he's only telling me the truth. So he told me that, it's a place where even non-Jewish people, there aren't so many Jewish people in Jordan, go and they dive in there, I don't know. Again, so this should be something that we should be careful for. Choice number two seems to be the bumpy path applies to everybody. That's what it seemed to me to be, to anybody outside of Chutz La'aretz. Okay, source number two is the Midrash Rabba on the Parsha. The Midrash Rabba very quickly says the following. Why do they want to be? So of course he picked up on this idea that the Avos wanted to be, specifically here Yaakov was buried in Eretz Yisrael. Why? What's so good? Lama of us mechavim Eretz Yisrael shemaysei Eretz Yisrael chayim techila b'yimas Mashiach. That's a pretty good reason. Number one, when Mashiach comes, so we the number one techila samaysim is going to happen first, and by this I assume as well Mashiach will come first here. So I don't know how this is going to work with modern technology, but I assume we will be able to Skype our families that are in Chutz La'aretz and say to them, wow, you are really missing it here. Mashiach is here already. And they're going to be like, what are you talking about? It wasn't in the press over here. CNN didn't say anything yet. No, wait. Right? And Eretz Yisrael, we're going to find out about it first. I don't know how this is going to work with the world of media, but that's what it says. Number one. And Techiyas HaMeisim will happen first. There, right? And also, and therefore, Shnos Mashiach will start. Rabbi Chanan, Misha Meis B'chutz La'aretz V'nikvah Sham, Shtei Misul Sheish V'yada. Right? And somebody says, Rabbi Chanan says, Misha Meis B'chutz La'aretz and decides to be buried there, it says double Misa. Right? Because the kapara of the offer of Eretz Yisrael isn't upon him. Tell over the story of the Maisa of Rabbi Elazar, Shalom Halchim. So this is a famous story. If you look, I think there's an arrow there. So it tells over the story of the Maisa of the Rabbi Elazar. They're taking a spatzir in Eretz Yisrael. Where? In Tveria. And what happens? They see Shahayu Mahalchim Niflei Chutzlar LeTveria. There's an Aaron coming into Tveria from Chutzlaritz. Shabami Chutzlaritz LeKvar BeEretz Yisrael. Amru Rabbi LeRabbi Elazar Mahoyel Zeh Shiasun Nishmasu BeChutzlaritz. Who is this guy? He died in Chutzlaritz with LeKvar BeEretz Yisrael. What do I call this person based on the pasuk in Yirmiyah? V'nachato shemesim l'soeva. Ah, the chutzpah. You bring the tumah of your body here. That now, we're good enough for only dead people are good for Eretz Yisrael. I couldn't live here when I was alive, but the tumah of Eretz Yisrael is a chutzpah. Is a chutzpah. How can it be? L'toeva. Right? That the aretz. So we have to understand what this means. But doesn't it say Amar Lei Kevin Shahayu Nikvar BeEretz Yisrael Kolish Baruch Mechaper Dechsev Vechiper Admaso Imo? But doesn't the pasuk tell us, based on Vechiper Admaso Imo in Sefer Tevarim, that somebody who's buried in Eretz Yisrael has an immediate type of kapara? I believe that all chaver kedushas, at least from my very small understanding, that all chaver kedushas outside of Eretz Yisrael have dirt that they put in the grave when the person is buried, maybe against U.S. law, but they have a whole stack of dirt from Eretz Yisrael, and when somebody's buried, they put a little bit of the dirt of Eretz Yisrael into the kever, so that this idea of the kapara of Eretz Yisrael will be very, very strange, because we know what the halacha is. I don't know. That I don't know, number one. Number two, if you bring a tree from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, it's not chayv in Shemitah. So what does that mean exactly? It's a zecher. It's a nice little thing that they do. Okay. So we have somewhat of a machlokes here that the kapara of Eretz Yisrael. Somebody who's first we said the kapara. Sorry, somebody who's buried in Eretz Yisrael, tchias amesim will happen first, and somebody who's buried in Chutz La'aretz has two misas. But then we have the story of Rabbi Yirmiyahu Elazar where this body's coming from Tveria and he thinks it's a chutzpah that the body's coming in. Here you spent your life and now your tumah body's coming to Eretz Yisrael. But then we quoted saying, hey, well, wait a minute. isn't there a tremendous amount of kapara? So we'll have to figure out who are we going to hold like here. And therefore, in source number 3, the Gemara Kesuvos, Kuf Yud Aleph, says as follows, Amar Rabbi Anan, anybody who's buried in Eretz Yisrael is like he's buried on bottom of the Mizbeach. Right? Because what does it say? The Kosev, and it's the same Pasuk, but it just says it more in length. Mizbeach Adma Tasev, Chikosev, Chifar Adma Soyom. So why would a person want to be Eretz Yisrael? It's like Tachlim is Beach. I can understand the Gemara is not talking here necessarily about where the person died, so maybe that's not a machlekes with the Midrash, but it seems not to be. It doesn't say anything about that. And the Rabbam codifies this halacha. If you look at source number 4 in Hilchos Malachim Perikei Halacha Yud Aleph, Amru Chachamim Kol Hashochim BeEretz Yisrael Avonis Mechuyim. That's a line without dispute. The Rambam says, anybody who lives in Eretz Yisrael, his avoinus will be meichel. Shenema v'chol ba, sorry. Shenema. V'cheinom yomar shekein chilas ha'am ha'yoshebo. So he says, even if a person went abar almost the famous line, afilu halach ba arba almas, zoich l'chai oylam abba. He's zoich l'chai oylam abba. V'chein ha'koy rebo, nischap rebo. Anybody who's buried here, even the din liver it seems, you get kapar. Where's the Rambam buried? Right. So v'ki'ilu ha'makam shehu zeh bo mizbeach kapar. Gemara in Ksuvas we say. So he takes both of these sources and says, yeah, this is a Kachanus Kabbalah. And we learn this from Yaakov Avinu. Right? Tsei ulaman mi Yaakov Avinu bi Yosef HaTzadik. I'll just end off. It happens to be that it's on here. The olam yodur adam be'eretz Yisrael afilu be'ir sherubo is better to live in Eretz Yisrael, even in a town that has mostly non-Jews, than in America. It doesn't say America, but in any other land where you have rubo Jews. So it's better to live in Ramallah than it is to live in Bar Park. Pasha, Rambam doesn't. We don't need the Rambam for this. In fact, the Rambam in his Shelos Teshuvah Sefer, Shelos Teshuvah Rambam in Shin Ayin Bet says the story about a father. A father specifically wrote that he didn't want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And the kid decided that he was moving to Eretz Yisrael. He says, how can I not go with my father's body? And he brought the body there. He brought the bones it was. So he asked the Rambam, did I do something terrible here? My father explicitly never wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Zuck the Rambam in the Tshuva, Shinayin Beis, says, Masha Asa, Toiv Moi. This is a very good thing that you did. Okay? Good. We're now only discussing burial in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have a for or against yet. Source number 5 is the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch tells us in Yoredeya, Simon Shin, Samach, Gimel, Seif, Aleph, that we know that we have a tremendous amount of respect for the body, and we do not inter, we do not take up a grave for no reason. And even if later on they want to do testing because they think, generally, unless it's going to save another life, we don't allow this. We know about autopsies, how careful they are. And even as we saw, certainly a terrible tragedy, but with the shooting, you see how quickly the body was buried. Noah's body was buried in the shooting last week. That was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, because all the papers wrote, why is he being buried so quickly? The guy, you know, they do like a week after, a lot of the people were buried on Friday. So he says, why was he buried right away? So they wrote that this is the Jewish custom. So, therefore, we have tremendous kavod for the kavod b'toch shelo, right? We know b'zayin v'chein, but there are certain ways that is considered to be not derech b'zayin. It says v'chein kedei lekavru be'eretz Yisrael mutter. You're allowed to take a body out of the soil to inter the body in order to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't really discuss so much. It's just talking about that's not considered to be b'zayin. One halacha we are not going to violate. It's not a b'zayin to the body. The shach in source number 6. In the same simon, says be'eretz Yisrael is mutter. What does that mean? Shu kaparato she'afar eretz Yisrael mechaper techsiv echipa ad maso imo. Why isn't it bizayon? I'll tell you why. Because he's going to get kapar of eretz Yisrael. What an amazing thing! Oh, he should be buried there. So far the sources seem to be pretty clear, except for the source from the Midrash Rabbah, which there's some sort of chutzah to bring a body from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. We see that Yaakov Avinu wanted to be buried. We see that the halacha seems to be clear based on the Gemara and Ksuvos and some kapara tachas mizbeach. We see that even if you were going to tie it to me that this isn't so and not in Chutz Laaretz, we saw that the Rambam said this in his Shelos Teshuvos that it's true. We see that the Shulchan Aruch says it is not a lack of kavod to the body, and the Shach codifies it by saying because this kapara, even a body from outside of Eretz Yisrael. What we have to discuss which is the $25,000 question, or here in Eretz Yisrael, the 100,000 shekel question, is going to be what? Pasha. Is going to be, what if you had the chance to come to Eretz Yisrael? Maybe this is all talking about the times that we're talking about, the times of the Rambam, the times of the Shulchan Aruch. It wasn't easy to come to Eretz Yisrael. Now that it's so easy, is that Midrash really correct? And that it says there's some sort of chutzpah. That's what we have to figure out. Questions? Good. A case against. Case against. Number one, Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi, which by the way was written in Eretz Yisrael, in source number 7 in the Kalim, Perek Tes Halacha Hey, we're going to see the Pnei Moshe in a moment, says as follows. Amar Rabbi Bar Kriya Le Rabbi.
Is it the Yerushalmi or the Shah?
No, number 7. No, it's under. I used to do things backwards in my, back in the day. So he says as follows. The Rebbe Lazer, Ma hoyil ilu ani koyru aleihem, nesat shemasam l'soeva b'sochem. The tomus artsi b'misoschem. It takes the exact line, although, as you see, by the way, this is the same mice of Rebbe Lazer, because they call him Rebbe Lazer here. It's the same thing. That's a nickname. Right? So he tells over the story, Rebbe and Rebbe Lazer. Tell the story of what happened, the Maisa that we just talked about, codified in the Yerushalmi. So not just the Midrash, it's the Yerushalmi. Parshat Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says that it's considered to be a Toeva, to bring a body that's Mitame himself, living in Chutz Laaretz, to Eretz Yisrael. Kevan Shein Magiyim L'Eretz Yisrael, Hei Noitlim Gush Ofer. There is a Mount of Kapar, as we said before. So, already the Kolbo picks up on the fact that there would be reasons, codified reasons, not to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The Kolbo writes that maybe it's a family plot. Everybody's buried there in the entire family for many years, and therefore there's a tremendous amount of cover, there's a tremendous amount of respect we have, and therefore they should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The Sefer Chassidim, Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes this, says that if this is what the family wants, so you should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Again, if the Salva is written, even though we saw the Tshuva of the Rambam, And the whole family says, no, I want to visit the body. This is a, you know, if I could say, let's Arenu, in my case, you know, my grandparents. So it's an amazing, just to think about the irony, if you will, in this. My grandparents, many, many years ago, my decided to purchase burial plots because they wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Tremendous Zionist mentality, Zionist in and out. So they decided that they wouldn't be able to make it here to live here, but they always wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. They bought plots in the crazy cemetery, this was years and years ago, called Eretz Achayim, in this town called Beit Shemesh that nobody lived except Ethiopians and new immigrants. Many, many years ago, I remember hearing about this. My grandfather passed away, so my father right away said, oh, let's get the burial plots ready. And both my grandmother and my uncle, they were very against it. And my grandmother said, which is exactly what Rav Moshe is saying over here, Sefer Chassidim, I want to visit my husband. I'm not going to go to Eretz Yisrael so often. And she was totally against it. And she said, when I die, so then you can use those burial plots. As it turned out, when she passed away, it was I remember it was on the Shabbos, and it wasn't going to work out that way. So both my grandparents were buried in America, but it's amazing to think that they would have been buried here in Beit Shemesh, where their grandson now currently lives. It would have been mamash, a hop, skip, and jump, 10 minutes away, could visit their kever, Litzarenu. But yes, I still have the karm. Baruch Hashem, they're worth quite a few dollars. If you want, you can talk to me later. So we see though that there would be a reason. You know, the law in Eretz Yisrael, just to understand, the law in Eretz Yisrael is a citizen of Eretz Yisrael gets free burial. So why is it that so many people are buried in Har Menuchos and Har Zeisim and the Beit Shemesh Cemetery? Because being buried for free has its costs. In Eretz Yisrael, you are not guaranteed that somebody will not be buried on top of you. Right? This is it's a Har Menuchos, they guarantee you that won't happen. And that
you have to buy.
So you don't buy anything. So you could you pay for it. It's a big amount of money. The Har Zeisim, apparently you can't get into it unless you know somebody. So these are So here in Eretz Yisrael, so right here in Beit Shemesh, they have a cemetery. You know, I said Baruch Hashem. There's hardly any. You know, there's not a lot of people buried there. So right now, it like seems crazy. There's acres and acres of land, or dunam and dunam is the land. Who's going to be? But they say, they always say that you never know. They bury. It could be they'll make another layer, so it'll be one on top of another. Okay, I don't know how halachically that's not a problem. People think that that's it's going to hurt them. It's going to, you know, be claustrophobic. I don't know what's the big deal, but okay. So people opt to pay so much money to be buried. But okay, it's also in this Chavik Kedishas. I don't know. Very interesting. In any case, so we see already from the Yerushalmi, Pasha, based on the Yerushalmi, that there is some sort of problem with being buried outside. And in fact, if you don't mind for a moment, just to make sure you're still awake, if you turn the side over to the Pnei Yoshua, the Pnei Moshe, source number 10, She'ein, sorry, number 10, She'tziva, Lelecholto, Achar Ptirato, Lekan, Vayamakir Osam Shahaya Biyadam La Alos Bachayam. Well, oh, l'firach ama kore ani aleichem. There are two dinim. He writes, zok the pnei Moshe, I'm Yerushalmi, that Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar knew exactly who this guy was. Right, he was coming. They knew the guy. So, this was a guy, Baruch Hashem. He had the money. He could have moved here. He decided to live in, I don't know, wherever he lived, in Syria or whatever. So that's a chutzpah. But it seems to be. So who are the ones who mechaper? So why does the Gemara continue? The Yerushalmi. Because people who are able to bechayehem, that is a chutzpah, but it's not a chutzpah if you just weren't able to make it here for good reason. And in fact, that could be one of the potential reasons. Although I don't know how you could fight it now. Meaning, what would you say today? Right? It's impossible to live in Eretz Yisrael. People have excuses, right? The person has an excuse. He was whatever. Take Rav Moshe Feinstein, great example. So Rav Moshe Feinstein to move to Eretz Yisrael literally would have caused America to be a different place today, not a positive. So that's difficult. Everybody's talking about, you know, Rav Aaron Cutler, the 50 years Yahrzeit, I think it is. So everybody's talking about the 50 years Yahrzeit. So yeah, Rav Aaron Cutler, what he did in it. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So there is a case against, though, for the ordinary person that could have made it to Eretz Yisrael and didn't, b'chayehem, that's a chutzpah.
Where's Rav Aaron Cutler?
In Lakewood. Yeah. The Rav as well. Soloveitchik as well. We'll see why in a moment. Rav Henkin as well. We'll certainly see. Then there's the famous Zohar. I know you guys love Zohars. So I can't help you so much with the Zohar, because of course, even though you think I'm 40, I'm still not 40. Even if I was 40, I wouldn't understand it. So here this is written in the Sefer Gesher HaChaim. This is Rav Topashinsky's Sefer.
Where is it?
It's on source number 8. Even though there are those that say that, as we saw, that you shouldn't bring a body to the chutzlar, it's like a river itself. Ad Omar al Zeh, and it is written, the Zohar writes, "V'tavu timasos ha'artzeinu," that you're being metami the land. The Zohar, Parshas Truma, it's also in Parshas Vayechi, apparently. Tamuot, man delo zochi b'chayev. As that's what the Pnei Moshe says. You weren't zoicha to bechayehem, so it's a toeva. It's a toeva. One of the codifiers, if you will, of the Zohar was the famous Ma'arib Beirav. Ma'arib Beirav, of course, lived in Sfas. He has that shul. When you go to Sfas, there's the Rebbe of one of the Rebbe's of the Shulchan Aruch. The famous Machloikis, of course, Marie Beirav and the Maral Bach about giving smicha. Maral Bach was in Yerushalayim where there wasn't as many Jews as in Tzfat, and the Marie Beirav reinstituted smicha, not smicha that we that I have, and that Yemirtz Hashem one day you'll have, but the real smicha, the smicha which was Alpi Masoira, right? Revel P. Rav. So he writes, in his, I think he has a Shel Shuvah Saber, he writes that the Zohar wrote this in his time. But if he knew today that the Rov Poskim said it's okay, he would okay it. Klal Gadol B'Torah, he writes. So he says that we Azilin Basarov. He says because he knew that it was so difficult, he says he didn't want people to start spending Shrel Shuvah. It would be embarrassing also. This one's going to Eretz Yisrael, this one's not going to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the Zohar only wrote this in his time. Very difficult to understand. Zohar was obviously generally is used for generations. So it could be, though, those that interpret it specifically here, the Geshar HaChayim, which is again a very important halachic sefer, saying that there is some sort of a tuma for a body outside of Eretz Yisrael to be brought into here. Next side is probably the most famous, and that is of Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin, of course, was before Rav Moshe Feinstein came onto the scene, so he was like the Rav of America. The chief rabbi of Rav Henkin's Torahs are unbelievable. He's the head of what was called, if you ever get in America, it's called the Ezra's Torah Luach. So he's head of that stuck. What? No, Chas v'Shalom. Rav Henkin was much, at that time, was much older. But they had their the back and forth as well. But they were, obviously, I would assume, had a tremendous amount of respect. Rav Henkin was much older. So here's where Rav Henkin writes, and this is in English. It's even more easy for us to read. Sending an Aaron of the deceased to Eretz Yisrael actually is totally not to my liking. And regarding this, it is said in Cholvus HaLevavos, a bonus is not given unless the debt is paid. What do you think that means? A bonus is not given unless the debt is paid. Yeah! I'm paying this debt of living here. It's not as easy. I could just be going, going to Costco and instead I have to pay triple the amount of money for my food. Right? So that's not fair. So the schus I have is that when I get buried here, so I'll have kapara, a little small thing that tchias amazon will happen first here and have more kedusha here. Okay, so I pay 3% more, three times as much for food. Okay, yeah, great. So he says that you didn't pay your debt. That's the first thing he says. But then he writes for a great Talmid Chacham, who's world-renowned, and they're meticulous in their observance of mitzvahs. Both the easy one, the hard one, it is fitting and proper for them to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. As we see with Yaakov and Yosef, right? We know, of course, when Yosef, in a number of weeks from now, when he's finally taken out, of course, the Atzmos Yosef is brought to Eretz Yisrael. But in this case, I tend to think, right, that what is called Yura. What's Yura? Arrogance, right? Showy. I have the money, I'm going to go. In addition, what a waste of money to the middle class widows and orphans. It entails a tremendous amount of expenses that they have to bring the body. And he thinks it's tantamount to stealing from the widow. And therefore he writes, this tshuva, this response is for someone who asked me on the matter. However, if one wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, we should not stop them because the poskim seem to allow it as well. So Rav Henkin was known to be very against, although there are two reasons that we see. One is more of a non-halachic reason, based on the Chovas Levavos, you haven't paid your debt, how dare you be buried here? The second reason, which is a practical reason, although it might not apply today, which is what? Which is, come on, it's not fair. If the trend is going to be that everybody's being buried in Eretz Yisrael, you have a family, Nebuch, they're embarrassed, they're going to be the only ones buried in America, they're not going to do it. So we see that the trend is not like that. I don't know what the numbers exactly are, but I would assume the majority of people who die, who are Orthodox, who die in America, are not buried in Eretz Yisrael. There are plenty of cemeteries full of people. So therefore, I don't think that's necessarily a valid reason. But the first part, I don't have an answer to. We know that Rav Henkin's written in many places very much was against this. And as you saw, source number 10, the Pnei Moshe as well, seem to be against this as well. Again, the codified source here, the important part here, is that there is a huge problem. Because why? Because where were you 3 minutes ago before you died? Where were you 30 years ago? Where were you 10 years ago? Where were you 3 years ago? Where were you a year ago? Why are you coming? So that we have to see. That is a codified source. It is an important thing to consider, and there is certainly a case against. That all being said, we know, as Rav Henkin even admits, for Gedolim number one, it's quite proper, because their kapara is good. There's no tumah there. They're tzaddikim. Furthermore, there is probably a very good reason for them not moving to Eretz Yisrael, because of the Torah they were teaching. And even for a regular person, many rabbanim seem to say that it is okay to do. There is an element of kapara. It's pashut a paslik that there is kapara admaso. So that is, of course, why people generally do it. Yeah.
Generally, how long does it take for a body that a person dies in America to get there?
A long time. It depends when you can get very lucky, Kilo, and it would only take about a day.
Like flights coming back.
No, no. So generally, let's assume the normal. First of all, you can only. I assume. I'm told. I think Elal's generally has the what do you call it, monopoly on this. That's what they generally do it. Although there's a famous story about I think a certain Rav who was buried here, who was a TWA. TWA did it because there was some sort of whatever. But generally, it's only Elal. I remember when Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was nifter, so he's buried here. And so he went to the. This is a very strange story, because he was coming from Chicago. This must have taken 2 days. Came from Chicago to America. It was right after 9/11, so there was a tremendous amount of security. So he took a Delta Airlines, if I'm not mistaken, even though United is what he always used to fly. Took Delta to, I guess to hear the. Couldn't ask him. So yeah. So he came, and then so the body came, and then they had the. Right before they were bringing it onto the plane, there was like a mom, which we went to a hangar right outside. It was in Newark Airport. And we waited there for the body to come. And they did the hispedim there. Now, here's a very interesting thing. So we were there for quite some time. There was great Rabbanim there, Rav Ari Willig, and I remember Rabbi Shechter. And the hearse pulls up. I don't know, right away I saw there was something wrong here. Number one, the driver was an African-American gentleman. Which I didn't think was something that they normally did, but we said maybe there was a mix-up, because again the body was coming from Chicago, so coming off the plane, so maybe the Deltas, this is all they had, they brought it some black, whatever, and if you know, the Geisha hearses have more like, there was flowers all over, okay, and then the casket comes out. I had never been at a funeral, this type of funeral, and it's a gorgeous casket, like the Geisha casket. So everybody's again assuming maybe because when you go to Eretz Yisrael, they have to do it in a special casket, okay. So the body starts coming out, and everybody's looking. We don't know what to do, so they start to hispedim them. A few people start to, it was chalmoy, but it was hard to cry. And the African-American guy is taking out, whatever. And he's looking at, what the heck is all these people doing? 100 people at least. Were there. And he's like, y'all here for Martha Johnson? And we're like, what? What's going on? It happened to be an African-American woman who was being buried in Eretz Yisrael. She's being buried in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know the whole story. This is what the guy claimed. And the hangar opened, whatever. It was wrong. So everybody did their crying. And then finally, it was quite obvious when the next hearse came, there's a Hasidish guy driving it. You know, one headlight was out. And, it wasn't painted all black. And then we're iron. So this was so what happened? This is very interesting also. Apparently, El Al has a deal with Chevra Kedishas. This is what I found out. That they want to be Mechabi the mace. And apparently, it's not appropriate that you shouldn't open the kever. Right? Why do they want to open the cavern to see if if it's a fake? Right? There's guns in it or whatever. I don't know. So they don't want to do that. So they trust certain people and they sign their names around the. So when we got the body, generally what I thought is that when the body, so it had these stickers all around it and it was signed, but it didn't say Rav Aaron's name, Rav Aaron ben Rav Moshe. It said whatever Pinchas Yoyer ben whatever. Like this is the wrong body. So nobody does anything. So they're taking the body. Some other Chinook's going to be buried there. So we didn't see anything. And then the driver's like, "Are you here for Rav Aaron? Rav Aaron?" We're like, "Yeah, but it doesn't say his name." He goes, "No. That's the Chevra Kedisha guy who signs. So they know not to open it because they trust this guy that only the body's in there." And so then, okay, so then it started again. So that's what happened. So it could take, like you said, it could take a very long time. It could take some in some cases. There is a minhag in Yerushalayim, which is always a questionable, that the body, we know here, Rachman Litzlan, a person passes away, that as you know, as they do it at night, should be buried the same day. In fact, there are those that some Chevra Kedishas in Yerushalayim will not allow the body to be buried if it comes from Chutz La'aretz to be brought to Eretz Yisrael. Minhag Yerushalayim, Minhag Yerushalayim, nothing doing. You can't bury the body 24 hours after, which is almost impossible. Right? Unless the person, died at right before the flight, and they got him on the flight, and he came and forth. I mean, so it's going to be almost impossible to do this, right? We've done it on the flight, so then then you'll be okay. That's happened. It's not a joke. Someone just told me. One second. Someone just told me that they were on the flight and the person died.
No.
They moved. They landed there. So I said, "Oh, I had the most interesting flight." They called the doctor. Doctor. The doctor came. The guy, there's nothing to do here. The guy's dead. Sometimes I guess you bring him to the hospital. They said there's nothing to do. They put him in. They put him in. They didn't put him on top. They put him in. He got the slip. And he got to go to first class. It's a good way to get to first. He got to first class. They put a blanket over him. I think this is what the guy told me. What? Yeah, you didn't have to pay for the return flight. And Mistomi got buried in Eretz Yisrael. So in that case, obviously, Yeah. Very strange. I don't know. Okay. I was on a flight. My daughter just reminded me of this. When I was flying once for business, so my daughter's sitter play. turned out to be in the middle of the week, and I had already scheduled a flight, and I felt horrible. So I paid the money to change the flight so I would be home. I was going to surprise her, and I was going to come home. But it was one of those exact flights. I was landing exactly at 4:30, and the party started at 5, you know. Okay, so we're on the flight, and it's the only time ever, every minute I'm watching, except for the flight I took on Friday, which came in 20 minutes before Shkia, but okay, fine, it doesn't matter. But, so I'm looking up to make sure, so finally, they're a little bit delayed, but we get out. Mavish, two guys in front of me, was a Chabad guy, he started to have chest pains. So he starts to have chest pains, and he's hard breathing, they brought a doctor, the whole thing, I'm two rows back of them. They're talking about whether they should land the flight or not. So he started joking with them. The Chabad guy says to them, you know, he's in a lot of pain, obviously. He says, don't do me a favor, don't land. If anything, land there at Yisrael. This way, if I die, I don't want they're going to land in like Italy. He goes, I don't want to be buried in Italy. They're going to land, they're going to tell me to be buried. Keep going there, I'll be fine. So they were very nervous. So the doctor then went onto the phone of the plane and they called there's some sort of protocol. It was on Continental, and they Baruch Hashem, he was fine. Turned out he was not whatever, it was a little heartburn. Turned out to be he shouldn't have had the shouldn't have had the meal, but he was fine. But I was very nervous that we weren't going to land on time. Baruch Hashem, I landed. I got there just for the first day. It was Shabbos, right? For the first act. So. Fine. Okay. I'm just going to get my son. So, okay. A case 4. Amazing case. Source number 11. This is just like a remarkable thing, Rabbi said, because this is life. If you look at source number 11, it's the Shel Tshuva's Har Tzvi. In Yerodea, Reish Ayin Dal, we know the Har Tzvi, of course, was the famous Rasvi Pesach Frank, the Rav Yerushalayim. Rasvi Pesach Frank writes, Rasvi Pesach Frank, by the way, just to run a little history, because you guys, a few weeks ago, asked me for the type of history. Rasvi Pesach Frank's grandson is none other than former Rosh Hashiva in YU, now Rosh Hashiva in Landers, or a Sachs. If you own some Sachs, yeah. No. It's good. Grandson. I think grandson. Why you talking? I can't tell him why he's going. Why you talking? So he says. Listen to the story. I'll tell you the story outside, and we'll look at it inside. Story is as follows: the Kalina Rebbe, the Admir Mikarlin, passed away in America. I believe in Detroit, Michigan, he passed away. He had spent time in both places. So they said they don't know what to do. They asked the tshuva to the Har Tzvi, what should we do? Should we bury him here, where he had the chassidim that were there? Or should we bring him to Eretz Yisrael? And we're bringing to you, v'shalach oso din Torah, what should we do? So he writes, v'nei b'shulchan aruch simon yoredeya, shin sa'ad gimel, which we read already, mivur. Even if it was buried already, believe tonight. So of course it should be mutter. And as I told, I quoted you before. Oh, I didn't quote you. I'm sorry. The Maral Nach, was a very famous Rav Levi ben Chaviv, the Rav Yerushalayim. This is in the 1200s, 1300s. So he says the Talmud Chacham can be buried, always be buried in Eretz Yisrael. This Yerushalmi doesn't apply. The Zohar doesn't apply. I think that's even what Rav Henkin admitted. So. So mitzvah chaviv mode is the lashon. So the shayles would choose marmach kasev to im magala b'chayav dato. If he said that he wanted to, which clearly he lived in Eretz Yisrael, so of course lachain mitzvah chaviv l'kvar b'Eretz Yisrael. The akiv yochash, how dare you not to? Of course they should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. There's no question, and he paskins the hadin poshet she mitzvah l'haviv l'Eretz Yisrael lachain l'chaviv. And guess what happened? Kalina Rebbe is buried in Detroit, Michigan. They didn't listen to a word that the Rosh Pesach Frank said. Very strange. I'm not sure why. But that's the way he passed him. Rav Adi Yosef is a famous tshuva. Rav Adi Yosef is asking you, Abia Oimer, Chelik Vav, I believe, in Sif Lamed Aleph, Sim Lamed Aleph. There's a woman who came from South Africa. Her husband had passed away, and her children say, Mom, it's so hard for us to visit you all the time. Come to Eretz Yisrael, be with us. No, your whole family's here. She says, No. I know what's going to happen. You're going to, to bury me here when I pass away. I want to be buried with my husband. So they said, no problem, Mom. They said, I want you to sign a document. It says, if I die in Eretz Yisrael, you will bury me with my husband. So that's what happened. She passes away. And this letter comes out, and some friend of her calls and says, she told me to call when she dies. I'm just reminding you. So they didn't know what to do. So they called the Rav Adi Yosef to pass him this halacha. So they bring the body back. It's against Kibud Av Aim. So he writes something very, very strange. And the same thing we saw in Mishnah Chaviv Ma'od, and he goes, I guarantee you, her neshama is crying out now. Don't listen to the letter I wrote. I want to be buried here. Please, I made a mistake. Right? So, whatever. So he says, that's halacha. That somebody that's buried dies in Eretz Yisrael. How can you take the body out? Right? It would be awesome to take the body out. So, that's posh. He says, that's posh with the halacha. Very good. So we see that, even Rav Yosef, and this is a case where somebody wrote a whole document and they went, no, doesn't matter. The body should be buried where? Pashut should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So this is basically codified lahalacha. It's not fast. This is codified lahalacha. We see, again, Hartzvi would agree to this, even if somebody's in the Chutz La'aretz, if they lived in Eretz Yisrael, or it was known there was Chaviv to them, so it would be mutter. Rav Yosef Kiv, I think she was buried in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, they didn't listen to her. She didn't protest. Yeah.
Would they then have to bring her...
Yes, I think so. I think then it would be mutter. Yeah, I think so. There's an amazing... Yeah, I think it would be mutter. There's an amazing case like that. There's an amazing case. Mommy's not even Gil. So there's an amazing case like that about a woman who did this. I'll tell you the story at the end. Yeah. Yeah.
The only reason she wanted to be buried.
Just speak with her, yeah. So why not? So I'm sure they must have discussed it with her, and for some reason she wanted to be buried in South Africa. Yeah, I don't know why. Finally, the shows to choose Van August. So we don't have so much time. So I just wanted to. I will. Thank you very much. So I will just summarize. The Kolbo. He quotes the Kolbo. Better it's better to be with your family in a better part of Chutz La'aretz. The Sefer Chassidim we said. Maybe it's better to be in the place where your family can visit. This is what this Rav Moshe says, and then he writes, if you look at what it says for, Le'aniyah Zaiti. He says, but how do we paskin la'alacha? So he says, as follows. So, Le'aniyah Zaiti, he writes, Nira, bezeh davar mechudash. De'agedah hu ditzorech be'ofen hachi mu'ula ve'emes ha'davar. She'evsha b'karka en yotzin mitzvahs kvurim bar. He says, another thing we didn't take into account. The kvura that happens in Eretz Yisrael is done without an aron. The halacha of using an aron is against halacha. You're not allowed to be buried in an aron. You have to be buried without an aron. Why in America do they bury with an aron? It's the law. They have no choice. Although, don't tell anybody, because this won't be on Yahu Torah, some Chevra Kedushas have a false bottom. They invent this thing where as the body's going in, they shake it a little bit, and the body falls down. And there is an aron around them, but not on the bottom of them. It's crazy, huh? Yeah. Anyway, I've seen this before. I was very surprised. I'm like, oh, it broke! They're like, sure, check it. They're like, hey. You know, but it's not, yeah. So, fine. I didn't know this. I didn't know. Okay, that's what happened. So, he writes that's another reason to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, because you're not going to be buried with the Aron. So, okay. So, just to summarize... He quotes different sources here. Again, this is the Chuvos Van Agus. By the way, initially, he was in a Rav in South Africa himself. And he says a number of things. One would think, the case was, that a mother moved to Eretz Yisrael, and the kids, the same type of case. The kids wanted her to be buried next to that, didn't want her to be buried. So he says it's a bizarion to take the body out, just like Rav Yosef said. It's also because Kedusha is Eretz Yisrael. And he writes the kapara of Eretz Yisrael is so much so that she wouldn't want to be. She knows what she's getting now. And then the other reason I said, the Aron itself, so this again is similar to Rav Yosef, there was no shaila here. There is a few other things we don't get to, which is not on your sheet, but the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Eliezer in Waldenburg has a tshuva in Chelek Yud Al Siman Ayin Hey about what about being buried in Yerushalayim over Beit Shemesh, over another place. So he does bring, and there's apparently a machlokes between him and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So we know, as I said this already, but that people use the offer, they dafka take it from Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim has the element of Kedusha more. There's a shalat today, without the base of Mikdash, is Yerushalayim considered to be, so we know it's the holiest city in the world. My old joke when we talk about recruitment, so a guy says, convince me not to go to yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and to be in this yeshiva in Beit Shemesh.
I says, oh, are you kidding me? It would be against halacha for me to tell you not to live in Yerushalayim for the year and live in Beit Shemesh. Yerushalayim is the holy city in the world. Even Beit Shemesh is not the holy city. Even Brooklyn is not the holy city in the world. Yerushalayim is the holy city in the world. There's nothing we can do about that. I said, but okay, there are other things that we say, but that's not going on a tape of why our yeshiva is better. But okay, so here the Tzitz Eliezer quotes in different sources. Here he quotes the Pesukei Teshuva. We said that we don't listen to what the person wants. We buried in Eretz Yisrael. The Kapara of Yerushalayim is better. That was the question that we said. Again, this is the different sources that we saw of basically what the Tzitz Eliezer brings. To take it out of Eretz Yisrael, because it could be into the Chutz La'aretz, because it's Chilul Hashem, okay. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman was asked, She'ein shum hevdel bein kvuras b'sanhedria u'bein b'har ha'menuchas. She'ein shneim mi'chutz la'Yerushalayim. So he writes, halachically, you know, har ha'menuchas is Sanhedria, so you know where har ha'menuchas is, right? Right at the entrance of what we call Yerushalayim. So he asked, is that really considered halachically Yerushalayim? And he says it's also Ingan Regesh, or how a person feels. Rosh Shlomo Zalman seems to say that a person also could be buried outside, unless they're going to be buried in Har Zeisim, which is almost as possible, as they said. Again, so just to summarize, we see a number of truths. We didn't get to go through everything, but I think you understand the sources. You understand, again, besides relationships of the Parsha, we want to focus on the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Everybody agrees the reason why a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael is a Kapara. There's a tremendous positive of being buried here in Eretz Yisrael because of the Kapara. Tachas HaMizbeach, a person should always keep that on the mind, the holiness, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael in itself. A person should make his plans always that he should live in Eretz Yisrael when he is vertical, not horizontal. And he should make sure that that is an important part of his planning stage of his entire life. Even if it's later on, it could be a heter. If everybody knew that this guy was dying, not the appropriate word, if this person was yearning to move to Eretz Yisrael, yearning, everybody knew that he's always talking about it, and then he happens to die in Chutz La'aretz, that could be even more of a heter for him to go to Eretz Yisrael, because everybody knew his chashivas. And that line that we saw, Rebbe Lezer, maybe is not so true. It's the tomb of Eretz. He wanted to, it just didn't work out for him. So we all be zoicha to take this very important lesson of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael to heart. And in Mirz Hashem, very, very soon, we should not even have to think about this. That Hashem should take the Mach Hashem as the Dima called Panim. And we should see the Heshiv Leivavos, Alban, and Banim Avoysav here in Eretz Yisrael very, very soon with Mashiach's King.